Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Chav Ches. We're on Chav Zayin and Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with a new Mishnah. Let's refresh this parak that we're doing, the third parak of the Masechta. A little bit longer in nature. Anyway, this parak is dedicated to Nedarim that are not Nedarim. Right? Nedare lo nedre. So make a Neder, but it's not a Neder. So how could that be? So the basic answer is because what you're saying is not what you're intending. So generally speaking, what we generally assume is that what you mean what you say, but you given certain contexts, we know that you don't mean what you say. So we gave four categories of what this falls under. And so since the beginning of the parak, so we've been discussing the four categories. Nidre, Zrizin, Nidre, Shkagos, Nidre, Onsin, and Nidre Havai. I didn't do it in order, but anyway, but get the basic idea. That we're looking at the context and based on various contexts. So it didn't mean what he said, and therefore the neder is just simply not a neder, meaning you don't need to go to a chacham, you don't need a pasach, you don't need charata. It's just simply not a neder. Good. So that's what we've been discussing in the course of this parak, and so the mission over here is going to continue. Okay, we are like a little bit out of the formal categorization of the four categories, and now the mission is going to be, okay, I don't mean this, but the mission is going to be riffing a little bit. In other words, I'll just give you an example here, an example there, where the person doesn't mean what he says. Okay, this Mishnah probably falls under the category of Nidriones. The next Mishnah, which we're going to be doing this morning, a little bit less clear. But anyway, as long as we're on this Mishnah, so let's pay attention. Let's focus on this Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Nojin laharagin lacharamin lamochsim. So somebody's coming over to you, and he wants to kill you. In other words, he wants to kill you. He doesn't really want to kill you, but he wants to do is he wants to threaten your life in order to take your money. Okay, so right now, so you're being this is extortion, but in other words, real extortion where it's either your money or your life. And so, what you say to the person? And I'm right. There are three different examples here in the Mishnah. I'm focusing right now primarily on the first case. And so, what you say to him is, "Look, I don't know why you would take it. In other words, it doesn't belong to me. It's truma." And just to make sure that he thinks that you're telling the truth, and you make a neder, you know, all the fruit of the world should be ushered to me if it's not truma. Okay. So you're making a neder, but the understanding, of course, is that the neder that you're making is not a, you don't really mean the neder. You're just doing it to protect your life, in this case, protecting your assets. So it's understood that in the context, your neder is not really intentionally made. The same thing is true with charamim and mochsim. So charam is just a basic extortionist, meaning as opposed to the horig is looking to take your life. So the charam is just simply a baseline extortionist. Okay, you can call him a thief. And moches and a tax collector. Now I know, by the way, this will make a great moment to make comments regarding the tax collectors. But as we're going to see as we get to the Gemara. Meaning that this particular tax collector also is a thief as well. How do I know that? So we'll get to the Gemara. We're going to see it together in the Gemara. So hold that thought. So anyway, so what the Mishnah is basically telling me is that when someone's coming and trying to take money away from you with the threat of either your life or just general bullying or just tax collecting that's unlawful in any one of those circumstances. So you understand that you're making a neder and to the effect that you're trying to explain to him that this is not even my money. I don't even know what you're talking about. It doesn't belong to me. It's truma, for example. So under those circumstances, so the neder is not going to be a neder that needs to be, that needs to be reckoned with. It doesn't have status. So the Mishnah goes on. So, umochsim shi truma, afa pichena truma, shehin shal beis amelech, afa pichena shal beis amelech. So another thing which you are going to be saying via neder is it belongs to the king. Meaning, I don't know why you'd be taking this money. The money doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the king. And once again, you substantiate that with a neder. So again, based on the context of the scenario, your neder does not have any status. Bishama omrim, bakol nodrin, chutz mishvua. So now a question and debate between Bishama and Beisilo. Are there any limitations to what you can do to save your assets? So according to Beit Shama, yeah, there are limitations. And in every one of these, there are going to be three machloksim over here between Beit Shama and Beit Hillel. And each one of them, Beit Shama is going to be the machmir, Beit Hillel is going to be the meko. And that's true to form, meaning that's generally speaking how the machloksim come out. So number one, Beit Shama says that, yes, you could do this, but only via neder. You can't do it via shvuah. You can't swear to the Horeg, the Charam, the Mecha, the Moches. You can't swear to them by Shvuah. So why is Beis Shammai only limiting it to Neder? So as we said already numerous times, but here's the place to say, meaning we're learning Masechta Nedarim, so it's okay to highlight this idea numerous times. A Shvuah is more Chamor than a Neder. By Shvuah, the Torah says, Lo Yin Akeh, the Rambam over here quotes the Pasuk. So over here, when you make a Shvuah, even though contextually you didn't mean it, but still, it's really serious. The Torah says that a person who makes a false Shvuah, Lo Yin Akeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to forgive such an individual. So that's really serious. So the limits, according to Beis Shammai, is only Neder, not Shvuah. And Beis Hillel says, you can make a Shvuah. In other words, to get the Horeg off your back, you can absolutely make a Shvuah. So that's number one. Well, Beis Hillel Amrim Af B'Shvuah. Beis Shammai Amrim Lo Yiftach Lo B'Neder, Beis Hillel Amrim Af Yiftach Lo. Can you initiate? Meaning that the Mochis is coming over to you, and any one of the three examples in our Mishnah. The Mochis is coming over to you, unlawfully collecting taxes from you, and you, without him asking, you initiate, and you tell him, hey, I don't know why you'd be taking this money. This money doesn't belong to me. Either it's Truma or it belongs to the king. According to Beis Shammai, you can only do that if he asks you, does it belong to Truma? Does it belong to the king? Whereas according to Beis Hillel, no, you can even initiate, and you without being prompted, you can give him this information. Hold on 1 second. That's a great question. I will come back and we'll discuss. And Beis Shammai Omrim. So Bemeshu Madira, Beis Hillel Omrim Afi She'enu Madira. So the and now in terms of the neder, so Beis Shammai will tell you that you can only make the neder up to what he prompted you. You can't go beyond the prompt. And according to Beis Hillel, no, you can exaggerate, you can embellish. So and the Mishnah says, I'll give you an example. So Kesed Amalo Amar Koni Mishik Nenesli. So let's say, for example, he says to you, you know, you're telling me that this money doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Truma, it belongs to the king, right? Are you ready to make a neder substantiating it? Are you ready to tell me that your wife is going to be usher to you via neder? And Amar konim ishiu vanainenli. So you say, my wife, I'll tell you what, my wife will be usher to me, my kids will be usher to me. Right? They're not going to get, but whatever. They can make the neder in either direction. Right? They're going to be asked to me. They're not going to benefit from me. Whatever the case is. So the prompt is your wife and you come back with my wife, my kids. Yeah, whatever. So can you go beyond the prompt? So Beis Shammai says no and Beis Hillel says yes. So Beis Shammai omrim ishto mutaris uvanav asurim uBeis Hillel omrim elav elu mutarim. So according to Beis Shammai, so the allowance of what you can say is only based on the prompt. According to Beis Hillel, you can go beyond the prompt. And that means that according to Beis Shammai, if you were only prompted regarding your wife, and you added your children, so the neder is not going to be chal regarding your wife, but it will be chal regarding your children. And according to Beis Hillel, no. In other words, you can go beyond the prompt. And so therefore, your neder is not going to be valid, not by your wife and not by your children as well. Okay. Let's just take a moment to talk about Alan's question. Alan wants to know, I don't understand, the guy's ready to kill you, and you're telling him, oh, this belongs to Truma, and then all of a sudden he backs off. Okay, so I'm not really answering the question, but we're just going to simply make the following observation. And that is, people have strange value systems. Okay. And it's true. In other words, I'm sure you've seen in your lifetime, right? And this is not a new phenomena that people have strange value systems. So over here, in terms of murder, okay, fine. In terms of unlawfully taking other people's money, otherwise known as stealing, Truma? Oh, if that, that's Truma. Oh, okay, fine. You're right. I'm backing off. Okay, so
that's he knows the Kohanim will come
after. Yeah. What I think the easiest way to say it is the way I'm saying it. And that is that people have a strange value system. Right? In other words, people will steal, people will kill, but once you tell them it's Truma, okay, fine. Now it's holy. No. You kill somebody, you're chayv misa. And ye truma, and eating of truma is misa b'dei shemayim for a non-kohen to eat truma. Okay, whatever. People have distorted value systems, and that's just the easiest way to say it. And by the way, not only is that the easiest way to say it, Tosus over here talks like that. Okay, people have distorted value systems. And if you can say this and he's going to leave you alone, so beautiful. Meaning right now what you're doing is he's got a distorted value system, and you're using it to your benefit. And understandably, he's ready to kill you. Okay, so he doesn't care much about murder, but he cares about Truma. Okay, I'll use it to my advantage. Right? Please don't kill me and please don't take my money. It's Truma. And he's going to back off. Okay. based on the fact that he's totally bent on what's important and what's not important. They're both important, by the way. In other words, and again, based on the distorted value system of you said a neder, oh, he said a neder. Okay, correct. Meaning it's funny, and people are weird, and you know the Mishnah embraces it. I don't want to go that far, but in other words, the Mishnah acknowledges that people are weird. Okay, so we're starting now with the Gemara on Chaf Chesamid Aleph and Ve'Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara starts off with Amar Shmuel Dina Demachus Dina. So we're on the tax collector. So what do? We lump the tax collector with a murderer. Right. In other words, you have what in the world? You have murderers. You have tax collectors. They're effectively the same. So the right. So that's meaning when you read the Mishnah, that's basically what the Mishnah is saying. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. So Shmuel says, now we're going to hear this from Shmuel numerous times throughout Shas. Right at the end of Baba Kama, there's a big sugya over there that echoes the sentiment, and not only echoes, by the way, Shmuel, same Shmuel over there at the end of Baba Kama. And I bet you there are other places. I just none that come to my mind off the top of my head, but over here in the Darim, over there at the end of Baba Kama, in that 10th parak over there. So we hear from Shmuel, Dina de Machusa Dina. And I'm sure you've heard this over the course of time. In other words, this is often quoted. And that is that the law of the land is binding. So that means to say that when we're living in someone else's country and they institute laws, including, of course, the collection of tax, so that these are binding laws and we're bound by these laws. So over here, you have a tax collector. So according to Shmuel, you know what that's called? That's called, you pay your taxes. You live in a country, you pay your taxes. What is it? How is the Mishnah comparing the tax collector to the murderer? I don't understand, says the Gemara. So we have Shmuel's rule of Dina de Machusa Dina. And so Amr of Chinana, it's very interesting, by the way. And that is that we're going to hear this rule of Shmuel numerous times. The Gemara never cites a pasuk. The Gemara never cites a source for this. Meaning, we're saying it right now as a mantra, right? And we're going to say it a couple times this morning. Dina de Machusa Dina. What's the source? Based on what? Okay, so that's a great topic for a discussion in of itself, sheer in of itself in terms of where the source is. Okay, we're learning the daf right now. I'm bypassing that, but in other words, I'm just acknowledging that it's something that needs to be delved into more. How did Shmuel arrive at that conclusion of Dina de Machusa Dina? But anyway, in a moment, I'll quote the Ron, which kind of touches on it, but anyway, it's the facts. The facts are, you live in a country, the government's collecting taxes, you have to pay your taxes. We are bound to pay our taxes. So, question, in our Mishnah, how can you say that the tax collector is basically he's like a murderer? So Amrav, so the Gemara is going to give a couple of answers, two answers to be specific. Amrav Chinana, Amrav Kahana, Amrav Shmuel, B'melchi Shein Lo Kitzvah. Okay, so what the tax collector is doing is that he's taking more than what he's entitled to. Now, to understand this answer a little bit better, so let's go back to the tax collection system of circa 3rd century, 4th century, and I'm sure for most of world history, right, barring our modern system. So so tax collection was done by private venture. Okay, what it used to be back in the good old days is that you had a person or a group of people who would go to the king and say, look, in other words, you're entitled to taxes, and what are you going to do? You're going to go around collecting? So we'll collect for you. And so what they did is that they bid for the ability to collect taxes. Now, obviously, each one of them is going to tout how good they are at tax collection. And yes, in other words, you would have to imagine that whoever's doing the bidding or whoever's trying to get these bids are generally speaking, rougher people. You would imagine. Anyway, so what the government would do, what the king would do back in the good old days is that now what he would do is that he would deputize a private individual, a private group, and they would go around and they would collect. And what they would do is that they would take some for the king and some for themselves. Okay, and what they would do is that they would take a percentage for themselves. So now with that basic understanding of how tax collection used to be done back in the good old days, so now you understand that if you have a tax collector that you know is merciless, in other words, he's not holding by commission. He's holding of, I'll take whatever I can take. And as far as what I keep, I'll keep whatever I can keep. So at that point in time now, that's beyond statute. That's beyond what he's entitled to do. So that is what the Gemara describes as moche she'in lo kitzvah. And under those circumstances now, Okay, now we can compare him to a murderer. Meaning that's what our Mishnah is describing. If he's collecting taxes and he's taking commission for himself, that's perfectly within his right to do so. Right? He was awarded, he was deputized by the king to collect, mm-hmm. and he can keep a little bit for himself. That's fine. That's dina de machusa dina. But once he goes beyond, so then that's merciless and you don't have to pay him. That's answer number one. Debe Rabbi Yana Amar Bemochis Almei Mei Love. And Debe Rabbi Yana gives another answer similar, and that is that we're talking somebody who was not deputized. Meaning on his own, he decides, you know what? I'm the tax collector. Right? That's my job. And so he puts on a tax collector pin, he puts on the tax collector hat, and he goes around and he tells everyone, I'm the tax collector. And who knows? Maybe he does go around and maybe he does send a little bit back to the king, but he wasn't deputized to do so. And under those circumstances, we do not say dina de machusa dina. Okay. So this country was built on taxation without representation, meaning that's what our forefathers are in our forefathers. Meaning now I have to segregate which hour I'm talking about. But in other words, the American forefathers, that's what bothered them. Meaning they felt like collecting taxes without our authority. Okay, before we go on in the Gemara, so we're here, so I'm gonna quote the Ron, I'm gonna cite the Ron. Okay, big disclaimer to everyone out there, myself, everybody. A big disclaimer. The Ron says it, that doesn't mean that's a halacha. But the Ron does say it, and this is quote unquote a famous Ron. Okay. You know, something's only famous because I know it. You understand it's a famous Ron. But anyway, you're going to hear this Ron. You're for sure going to hear this Ron. So, okay, good. As long as we're here. So let's not only hear the Ron. I'm going to say it inside. So, Bemochis Homei Me'elav. The Ron writes. So if you want to follow with me, I'm on Chav Ches Amad Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Ron. So Bemochis Homei Me'elav Shalom B'mitzvos HaMelech V'kasva B'tosos. So over here, the Ron quotes Tosos, just as an interesting point. In other words, over here, the Ron's so he's Spain, right? On the eastern side of Spain, but he's Spain. So we're talking about Barcelona, Girona. In other words, we're all the way on the east side of Spain. And so what is he doing? He's quoting Tosos. Tosos is Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz are parts of France and Germany. So what's the Ron doing quoting Tosos? The answer is very simple. In other words, there was cross-pollinization. Meaning that in the yeshivas they were learning in France and in Germany, so with the Bali HaTosfos, so their Torah crossed the mountains and went into Spain. And not only did the Torah cross over, but people crossed over. In other words, you had Rishonim of the yeshivas of the Bali HaTosfos who went over the mountains, went into Spain, and said, you know what they're saying over there? So in other words, the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim knew of each other's Torah. Truth of the matter is that I'm just thinking of the Ron, I'm thinking of the Ritva, meaning we know the Spanish Rishonim recording the Bali HaTosfos all the time. I'm not sure if we could say the other way around. The Bali HaTosfos are quoting the Spanish Rishonim. Okay, anyway, but just as an interesting historical note, meaning the Ron's quoting Tosfos, that's not strange. That's normal. So anyway, so V'kasra B'tosfos Zedavka B'machi of the Kochavim. Armor didina de machusadina me mesha arishalov yachulomer lahem im losa asumit svasai gareshas chemin aritz. So the Ron over here writes, and again he's quoting Tosfos. When do we say dina de machusadina? That's when we're living in a foreign country. Because when we're living in a foreign country, you know what the government can do to us? They could say to us, oh, you don't want to pay your taxes? Okay, good. We'll show you the exit door. Bye. However, aval b'machi Yisrael lo. But if we're living in a Jewish country, otherwise known as Israel. So then, we don't say dina d'machus dina. Lefi Eretz Yisrael kol Yisrael shutvim bo. Because who's the owner of Eretz Yisrael? So I am part owner. I'm a shareholder in Israel. So v'chi, I mean, okay, fine. And then he goes on from there. So the Ron makes a distinction that dina d'machus dina applies in Chutz Aretz, but not in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Ron says it. Okay. Again, I know I said that on the front end, I'll say it now on the back end. I know the Ron says it, that doesn't mean that's the halacha, but the Ron makes such a distinction, and clearly the Ron is linking and tying dina de machusadina with the fact that we are currently living in a foreign country, meaning not our own country, and because they have the right to expel us anytime they want, so therefore we are bound to pay our taxes and comply with any of the laws of the land. That's the Ron's understanding, And that's why he makes this distinction between Chutz Aretz and Eretz Yisrael. Again, again, disclaimer, major disclaimer, that's not necessarily the halacha, and there's much more to discuss on this particular topic. Okay, I read some of the notes in the back. Okay, he goes on and on about this particular topic. Anyway, good. I quoted the Ron. Okay, I'm not sure if that was a good thing. It's always a good thing to quote the Ron, but in other words, the impression is that that's an accepted position. I don't think it is. Anyway, we're going back to the Gemara. We're continuing now in the Gemara. Shehein shall base hamelech v'afal pi she'ein shall base hamelech. Good. So in the Mishnah, we weren't really given super clarity on what exactly was the neder that was articulated. So the Gemara is going to just kind of help us out in going over what exactly was stated. So hechi nadar, what exactly was stated? So Amar Rav, Yesru Peres Olam Alayim, Einam Shal Beis HaMelech. Okay, I know I said in the Mishnah, but I said in the Mishnah simply because I read ahead, meaning I knew the Gemara was going to say it. And what you're saying now to the murderer, the extortionist, the unlawful tax collector, what you're saying to them is all the fruit in the world should be Yesru to me if this doesn't belong to Truma. Okay, so you're giving him assurances that this really is Truma, and again we know that it's not, but he's doing so in order to save either his life or his property, okay, from unlawfully being taken. So Kevan de Amar Ye Asru Itzru Allah Kol Peri Alma. So the Gemara says, okay, so I don't understand. You said it right. So the Gemara says, Ba'omer Hayom. So the Gemara says, no. What you did is you said all the fruit of the world should be usher to me today. Now the Gemara asks the obvious question. You're trying to get this extortionist off your back. So you come at him and you say, you know, all the fruit of the world is going to be usher to me today for the rest of today if it's not truma. So he's going to look at you and he's going to think to himself, you got to be kidding me. Meaning you're making a one day neder to reinforce your position. Like, come on. That's, you're not serious, right? So the Gemara makes exactly that point. Idam ra'yam lemekabel minemoches. So if all you're doing is just limiting your neder to just today, so the tax collector is going to look at you and is going to be like, that's not a serious neder. So the Gemara says, Ba'omer, belibo hayom, umos bisfasa bistam. So the Gemara says, okay, so libo, I'm sorry. When you said the word hayom, you didn't articulate it, but that's what you meant. Meaning in your mind, you significantly limited the neder. So the Gemara says, Afagam desirin dvarim shebelevin dvarim. So legabi ansin shani. Now the Gemara says, look, it's a basic rule regarding nedarim. It doesn't matter what you thought. In other words, by nedarim, everything is a function of what you articulated and how you expressed it. So in your mind, you said that the neder is only for today. Okay, who cares? Dvarim shebelev in nedarim. So the Gemara says, okay, you're generally right, not here. Here you're under duress. This is a case of ones. Since this is a case of ones, so over here we can effectively insert your interpretation even though you didn't articulate it. Okay. Beit Shammai Omrim, Bechol Beit Shammai Omrim, Bameshu Madiru, Beit Shammai Omrim, Afshena Madiru, Ketzad, Amar Lekone Mishi Nenes Liv Amar, Kone Mishi Uvanai Nenen Li, Beit Shammai Omrim, Mishlo Mutarim, Sivanei Uvanavasurim, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ela Veela Mutarim. Okay, I just read a big chunk, but all we just did in the Gemara is just recap the Mishnah. We didn't just recap the Mishnah, we restated the Mishnah. The Gemara is setting us up for the following. Amar of Hunatana. Okay, so after learning our Mishnah, and again, just to quickly remind, in the Mishnah, what are the limits of me making a neder to the murderer, to the extortionist, to the tax collector? So what are the limits? So Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are arguing, and again, in three different fronts, Beit Hillel is more expansive, and Beit Shammai is more limiting. Good. Now the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Beit Shammai Amrim lo yiftach lo b'shvua, Beit Hillel Amrim af yiftach lo b'shvua. So in the Braisa, it's similar, but it's not the same. In the Braisa, what does Beit Shammai say? You can't initiate a Shvuah. Now, if you're listening carefully, what you're hearing is, oh, I can't initiate a Shvuah, oh, but I can initiate a Neder? The Gemara makes exactly that point. Beit Shammai b'Shvuah hu d'lo yiftach lo ha-b'neder yiftach lo v'hatanan Beit Shammai amrim lo yiftach lo b'neder. So number one, in the Braisa, the diuk of the Braisa is that I can't initiate a shvuah according to Beit Shammai, but I can initiate an eder that goes against our Mishnah. So put that up as question number one. Question number two, v'su, miftachu d'lo yiftach lo b'shvuah, hamidr neder b'shvuah. What it sounds like, according to Beit Shammai, is I can't initiate a shvua, but if prompted, I could give a shvua. And again, that goes against our Mishnah. Beit Shammai omrim bechol nojim chutz mei b'shvua. And meanwhile, in our Mishnah, even if prompted, I can't give a shvua, according to Beit Shammai. And now you put that as question number two. So in other words, if you're reading the Braisa carefully, which is, of course, what we're supposed to do, if you read the Braisa carefully, what comes out now is that the Braisa is going against our Mishnah. So the Gemara's answer is, no, Tana Masitza Mened, lo dicha, kocha de Beit Shammai. Here's what's happening. In the Mishnah, so the Mishnah is telling us you can't initiate a neder, meaning according to Beit Shammai. And the point of the Mishnah is, I want to tell you how strongly Beit Shammai feels about his position. Meaning in terms of initiating, you can't do anything. Not shvua, not even neder. And v'tana b'risa b'shvua lo dicha kocha de beis hillel. And as far as the b'risa is concerned, the b'risa is focusing on shvua because the b'risa is accentuating the position of beis hillel. Meaning that beis hillel will allow you to not only initiate a neder, beis hillel is even allowing you to initiate even a shvua as well. Okay. I'm just thinking out loud. Generally speaking, what do we say? Koach de tera adif. That if we want to accentuate anyone's position, we always enjoy accentuating the position of somebody who's a mekel, right? And there's a Rashi in the beginning of Beitza that explains why, right? The Rashi writes over there that anyone could be machmir. It doesn't take much to be machmir, right? I could be machmir. In other words, somebody who's not sure what the halach is will be machmir. But if somebody's being mekel, it means he knows the halach, he knows it well, and he's confident in his position. So we always like highlighting the person who's being more mekel. Obviously over here, Beis Hillel is being more mekel. So why is it that our Mishnah, instead of accentuating Beis Hillel, is going to be accentuating Beis Shammai? Okay. I don't have an answer, but just, okay. Rav Ashi Amar, the Gemara is going to give another answer, and that is, Hachi Kitani, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein She'ela B'Shvua. No, Rav Ashi says, you didn't understand. Meaning, as far as the Brais is concerned, what Beis Shammai wanted to share with us is that if I make a Shvua, you can't go to a Chacham to be Matir from a Shvua. And Beis Hillel, on the other hand, disagrees. And Beis Hillel is of the position, Yesh'ela B'Shvua, that you can. That you can go to a Chacham to be Matir from a Shvua. Meaning, by Nedarim, obviously, there's a Pesach, there's Charata. You can go to a Chacham, he can be Matir it. Is that also true by Shvua? It's a machlokas. That's what the Braisa is sharing with us. Okay, good. Adkan.
In these cases, though, it's not a valid neder, so there's no need for any foreign.
Oh, right, correct. In the Mishnah, you're 100% correct. Right. Meaning what the Gemara is just simply doing is trying to explain the Braisa, where if I read the Braisa and I read it clearly, it seems to be going against the Mishnah. So answer number one, it's not going against the Mishnah. It's just a question of what we're focusing on. Answer number two of the Gemara is that the Braisa is dealing with a totally different issue, meaning not our Mishnah's issue. Okay, good. Okay. We are now on the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. Okay, once again, we are going over cases where your neder is not a neder. In other words, based on the context, the neder is not a neder. Okay, where does this belong categorically, this upcoming Mishnah? It's not really clear. Meaning, we have so many different categories to choose from, and the truth of the matter is that after going through the Mishnah, it's not perfectly clear which category it belongs to, but in other words, he did not intend on making the neder. What's the case? So let's see together. Harinitios ha'ilu karban im inan niksatsos. So the person makes a really unusual neder, and he attaches it to the following condition. So these trees are going to be a carbon, okay? Now over here, when he said carbon, does he mean actual carbon? Does he mean kick carbon, like a carbon? The Ron has a lengthy discussion on this, but we're just going to focus on what he's trying to articulate. These trees should be carbon if they're not cut off, if they're not cut down. Okay. Generally speaking, what do you do with a tree? You're eventually going to chop it down. Okay. I understand it may take years to do so, but in other words, you're going to chop down the tree. So the trees are going to be a carbon if I don't cut them down. So alternatively, talazu carbon im eina nisrafes. The talus is a carbon if it's not going to be burnt. So yesh lem pidyon. So the Mishnah says you can redeem them, meaning they're going to have kedusha, but a lighter kedusha in which you can redeem them. However, if you say harinitios eilu carbon ad shiksitzu. These trees are going to be carbon until I cut them down. Talazu carbon ashiti srof, or this garment is going to be a carbon until it is burnt. So ein lam pidyon. So the Mishnah then tells us, we're on the top of the Amud Beis, that I cannot redeem them before the tree is cut down or before the talus is burnt.
What's the difference?
Okay, if you are right. So if you're trying to make sense of the Mishnah, I'm telling you right now, without the assistance of the Gemara, it's near impossible to understand the Mishnah. What in the world is happening over here? Right, you're pointing to a tree. Obviously, you own it. Otherwise, the net, you can't make a neder. So you're pointing to a tree, and you say, you know, this tree should be like a karban, right? If they're not cut down, what is motivating you? What's prompting you? Up until now, we understood the general motivations of these mishnayos here in the third perek, right? I'm trying to motivate him to as I'm negotiating, and I'm trying to use the neder as leverage. Right now, someone's trying to strong arm me, and I'm trying to get him off my back. In other words, in most of the cases in the Mishnayos, or I made a neder and I made a mistake in terms of what the facts were. So we understand what's happening in almost all the Mishnayos here in this perek. And then we get to this Mishnah over here. It's like, it's without the help of the Gemara, the Mishnah is incomprehensible. I am pointing to my tree and I'm saying that it should be like a carbon. What? And okay, fine. So, okay, good. So what you're trying to do now, which is what the Gemara is going to do, is give me a little more context over here. What's happening that the person's making such an articulation? And the Gemara first starts off with, Veliste Kedushos, Ve'en Kedushos. So, first of all, the Mishnah is trying to express whether or not it has Kedusha or doesn't have Kedusha. I got a great idea, says the Gemara. Why not use the word Kedusha? Whether meaning it's Kadosh or it's not Kadosh. Now, over here, the Ron takes exception to the fact that the Gemara is bothered by both the first and second half of the Mishnah, right? The Ron discusses whether or not it's the first or the second half. The Ron feels that really it's the first half of the Mishnah that's much more problematic. Either way, right? Just to focus on the simple question the Gemara is asking. Why get involved in whether you can redeem it, you can't redeem it? In other words, step number one, does it have Kedusha? Is your neder going to be chal? Yes or no? That really should be the focus on the Mishnah. And don't get me involved in whether you can redeem, you can't redeem. First, tell me if it has Kedusha or it doesn't have Kedusha. So the Gemara says, I did the by lemisne b'seifa ein lam pidyon, so tana nami resha yesh lam pidyon. So the Gemara says, that's a really good point. It's fair. Meaning, you're right. In other words, in the first half of the Mishnah, what should the Mishnah have said? The Mishnah should have told me that the trees have Kedusha. Okay, you're right. But because in the second half of the Mishnah, we learn together that until the trees are cut down, you can't redeem them. So in the first half of the Mishnah, for the parallel language used in the to make symmetrical Mishnayos, which again, that's as we know, Mishnayos love being symmetrical. Remember, the Mishnayos used to be committed to memory, right? The Mishnahs should be committed to memory, right? I don't memorize Mishnayos. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But the Mishnayos were meant to be committed to memory, and as a result of that, so when the second half of the Mishnah ends with the words Ein Lahem Pidyon, so therefore in the first half of the Mishnah Yesh Lahem Pidyon. Although the truth of the matter is that really the point of the first half of the Mishnah is that your neder is chal and it's going to have kedusha. Okay, good. Hechi nadar. Okay, but that doesn't really help us understand the Mishnah. And now the Gemara wants to know, what's happening right now in the Mishnah? You're making such a strange neder. So Amar Meimar Beomer im einam nixesas ayom va'arva ayom v'lo nixesu. So what you do is that you are your articulation is that, you know, if I don't cut them down today and the day went by and you didn't cut them down, so in other words that was your condition, and the condition was the condition wasn't satisfied, and so therefore the trees are going to be hektesh. So the Gemara says, Im kein, lama lelameim, or pshita. So the Gemara says, okay, so let me get this straight. I have a Mishnah in the Darm that tells me that my neder is going to be chal on the condition, and as long as the condition wasn't satisfied, so the neder is going to be chal. Or in this case, the condition was satisfied, the neder is going to be chal. Meaning, the case in the Mishnah is basically, we're learning about conditions. Okay? I don't need a Mishnah at this point in Nedarim. In the third paragraph of Nedarim to teach me about Nedarim, Tanayim, meaning that's obvious. So lo tzricha kevin de'ika zikad nefisha. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what's happening. Okay, now finally, we're given a little more context, and what's happening over here is that we're in the middle of a hurricane. Okay, so we've experienced it here in South Florida. So like we understand, right? And clear memories. The when was the last really big one? 2005. Anyway, so trees were uprooted, okay, right? And we saw it. So trees just coming right out of the ground. So what's happening over here is that you're in the middle of a hurricane, and the and now what's happening over here is that you're making the following neder, meaning let's go back to the Mishnah. Hare netias elu karban im inan nixasos. Okay, so right on the case of the trees, so you're right now in the middle of a hurricane, and you say that these trees are going to be carbon if they're not going to be knocked down. Because right now you're in the middle of a hurricane, and you think right now that the hurricane's going to blow them down. So the Gemara says, Vakatan la gabitalis. The Gemara says, okay, I understand the context regarding the trees. What's happening with your clothing? It's going to catch fire? Like, what's happening over there? So the Gemara says, Talis, the Sreifa Kaima. And I don't understand. Your clothing are combustible? Meaning, if you're talking about trees in the middle of a hurricane, I understand you think they're going to be uprooted. But all of a sudden, what's going to happen? Your clothes are going to catch fire by themselves? That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says in. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is the following. Yeah, your clothing right now is in the middle of a house that's caught on fire. So kigo diga deleka. Okay, so the Gemara says same thing. Meaning, just like we're talking about the trees in the middle of a hurricane, we're also talking about clothing right now that's in the middle of a fire, meaning your house is on fire. And so hachana midika zika nefisha. So sakadacha demasakadaita delamin salan. So what did you think? You think right now that your tree is not surviving the hurricane, and you think that your clothing is not going to be surviving the fire. And so therefore, you made the following neder based on a condition, but the condition was set forth with the thinking that there's no way my clothing is making it, and there's no way the trees are making it. So mishum hachi kanadar, and that's why you made the neder. And so what the Mishnah is coming to teach me is kamash malan. So what the Mishnah is coming to tell me, that despite the fact that you had reason to believe that your trees weren't going to make it through the day, or your clothing was not going to make it through the day, but since you articulated the neder, so the neder is going to be chal. Okay. That was a long walk to get to a really simple point. And that is that even though circumstances would lead you to believe one thing, but as long as you articulate the neder, so the neder is going to be chal. That's the point of the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to pause over here at the two dots. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up from the two dots. Quick recap of today. Making a neder because right now somebody is threatening you, your money, and unlawfully looking to take money away from you, and you're making a neder. So file this under Nidre Onsen, and the neder is not a neder. And that would include even the tax collector. The Gemara's question, I don't understand. Tax collector, he has a legitimate right to come and collect taxes. And you have an obligation to pay taxes, meaning we have an obligation to pay our taxes. Okay, if anything I say this morning is, you know, should be reinforced and emphasized. Okay, so we are obligated to pay our taxes, bound by the rule of Dina de Machus Dina to pay our taxes. So how can the Mishnah say that the Moches is basically he's a Rotzeach, he's a murderer? So the Gemara gives two answers to that question when the Mishnah is talking about an unlawful Moches. Either he's collecting and not properly taking his rightful commission, meaning he was deputized, but he's taking more than he's allowed to. Alternatively, he was not deputized. And so that's an unlawful tax collector. That's a tax collector that you don't have to pay. And you can make up stories in terms of, I don't owe you the money. But if we're talking about a lawful governmental body who's coming to collect taxes, so that you do have to pay. We all have to pay our taxes. Good. Great. So that was the first part of today's daf. And then the back and forth in terms of when you are going and making up a story and making a neder to validate that story. So exactly what the neder was, exactly what your intention was in your mind, which normally we disregard, but under the context of ones, we get to throw in there. And whether or not there are any limits in terms of making such a neder, machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Hillel is more expansive, Beis Shammai is more limiting. So that was all part of the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Good. Amud Beis. So the Amud Beis really, which starts on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, is a Mishnah that talks about a case where you didn't think your trees were going to make it through the day. You didn't think that your garment was going to make it through because right now your trees are in the middle of a hurricane and the garments are right now caught fire. You make a neder, even though you didn't think it was going to make it through, but because you articulated a neder, so therefore the neder is going to be chal. Okay, and that is a really succinct way of describing Point number two of today's daf.